Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Guys, and welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast, women's football episode. So I'm here, your host, Moya at Moya's Laboratory. And to my left, I have
Marva at Marva MSK.
And Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Perfect. And before we start, as always, make sure to follow the Gold Diggers podcast on Twitter. It's Gold Diggers UK. and on Instagram, it's Gold Diggers UK _. For some reason, I thought it was something else. Yes, so where to start? I think it's only right to start with the upcoming final this weekend. Conti Cup final in a game that is going to be Arsenal versus Chelsea. Now, we've seen a lot of Arsenal versus Chelsea games, not only in the league, but also in finals recently and in semi-finals in the past. So I want to ask you both where you think, so what your predictions are, first of all. And then we'll get into where the game's going to be won and lost. So first of all, we're going to get your predictions. So Lauren, I'm going to go to you first.
I think Chelsea win 2-1.
Sweet. And Marva?
I think Chelsea win 2-0. However, Arsenal, man, come on. Like, really? You're going to let them do this to you?
Again.
You're not embarrassed at this point?
Yeah.
Like, I think this is their last chance, really. I mean, well, obviously there's obviously Champions League, but...
they're not winning the Champions League. They can't
overcome Chelsea in their Conti Cup.
So,
sometimes when it's written.
they've just... I feel like you've just got to go all out for this game, and I feel like that's something they haven't been doing. So I'm interested to see, because... yeah, man, they got to step it up for this one.
Yeah, agreed. And Lauren, what do you think?
Because we're recording this, and obviously the FA Cup game just happened, and it was an odd one, because I think Arsenal actually created like a fair amount of chances. They should have scored, and they didn't. And I think that's the difference, really. That I think Arsenal in this period, I think the last time like we discussed, I just said they're a bit on a knife edge. They're in this period where they're struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. Not necessarily create chances, but to actually score. And I just think Chelsea and their mentality and the way that they play, they're built for finals. They really are. Like Emma Hayes has built her team to peak when they get to finals. So, yeah, I said 2-1 because I think if you're... 2-0 down and it's 15 minutes to go, I think they'll have a go. But yeah, I just think based on current form, I think Chelsea will win.
But this is what I don't get, because I feel like in that FA Cup game, Arsenal created some chances, granted, didn't take them, but then second half, I still don't think they went that hard. Stats-wise, they created some chances in terms of had some shots, but it was nothing... you didn't really feel like Chelsea were particularly under threat, especially in the second half.
I think they lack confidence. I think everyone's talking about them. Obviously, the failed kind of transfer window towards the end. I think probably if you're Stina Blackstenius, for example, you probably saw, you know, Viv's injury and thought, okay, this is my time to step up for the team. And then
you heard your board were like, we're trying to get Russo going. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you got to her, and it's not even just
you thought we were relying on you.
It's not like they're trying to bring in some mid young striker to kind of help with the match load. They literally said, what we have is not enough. Mm-hmm. We need a starting striker. And I just think it's tough, I think, for confidence. And I think watching Arsenal, they just lack a bit of that, you know, at the beginning of the season where everything was slick, everything was looking good, they were just banging in goals left, right and centre. They're just not there.
But even I think compared to, like, I know they didn't score an open play, but the game against Chelsea in the league at the Emirates,
I thought they were the better team.
They were the better team. They shouldn't have let that mm-hmm. lead slip. But then it's like the drop from then to the games they've played recently against City in the league and Chelsea in the cup and in the league. I'm just like, what's happened? They've just really, really dropped, I think.
You both actually touched on a good point there about confidence. And yes, it would be easy to like pinpoint Stina as like someone that's lacking confidence. But do you not also think that there's other areas that people mm-hmm. are lacking in confidence? And if so, what would you say they are?
Massively. I think the defence is looking a bit shaky. Mm. I think the first goal was poor defending. Really poor defending. They should have come out to meet that and press that Sophie Ingle shot.
But you can't let Lauren Jones. Like, I feel Lauren Jones has got to a point now where she gets the ball and everyone's backing off. Somebody has to be aggressive.
I think they don't want to be in the highlight
room. In the nutmeg highlight room.
They're not tackling. You know that with Lauren James, that move is getting like, WSL are going to post it and say, ooh, with that emoji, there's like, they don't want to be in. Do you know what I mean?
But I also think it's the confidence of the whole team, because the second goal as well came from poor passing out from the back. Yeah. And it was very similar. Well, actually, it was worse in that City game in the league, where they're struggling. They don't really know their patterns of play at the moment, which is surprising for Arsenal. And also surprising given that they weren't like that, even just, like I said, as recently as that Chelsea game in the league. It came from Zinsberger just sort of playing a nothing ball, but that was because Raffaele wasn't sure what to do beforehand and just played it back, and then Leo Williamson was like basically just left with either having to track the running player or Kerr, and then Kerr just had a free shot at goal basically. But that came from them trying to play out from the back but not really having real options through the middle, and I don't think that's because they're lacking the talent. I think that's because, like you said, they're lacking confidence and they're lacking
and leadership. I think.
Leadership, and confidence in their ability to play as a team, I think, currently.
I think a lot has been said, and it almost, they're playing as if they're listening to everything that's being said online and all the questions that are being asked of them. Can you cope without these big injuries? Oh, Beth Mead, your most important player. Mead and Marsh, your most important player. And they're playing like they're like they're missing their most important players. And I think the spine of the Arsenal team, you know, with Williamson, with Leo Valti, it's just not clicking. And I think when they're lacking confidence and they're making mistakes, then, you know, not your fringe players, but the ones who take maybe shoulder less responsibility, you know, if your big players are making mistakes, and you've got problems all over the pitch, ultimately. And I just, you know, this is typical Chelsea. They lap up these type of situations. But equally, I still think that starting level for Arsenal is still good enough to win the game.
That's what I was just going to say, that like, it's nuts how we're saying our XY, like this. A lot of those Arsenal players start for pretty much every team in the league, like a lot of them.
But I think also in terms of like lacking confidence and mentality, if that's playing a factor, then I think what better time to step it up than a final that you know, like we said, that's kind of your last chance. Yeah. And then it might be a chance that they just, because they have that feeling of like, well, we have to go for it. We've got no other choice, that maybe we see those confidence levels and those, at least the mentality, step up a bit in this game. And I think there's a good chance that Chelsea take it for granted as well. This is probably, you know, the cup they care least about in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, they lost the Conti Cup final.
That might also go against Arsenal in the sense that like, they're thinking,
Emma Hayes ain't tolerating that
twice. I'm not going to have that
twice. She's like, we're going for that quadruple.
And I think, Emma Hayes' Chelsea is just at the stage now when she's like, they just want to win. They just want to win stuff. But at the same time, I do think what Marvel was saying, in the sense that that game we saw at the Emirates, if Arsenal play like that and Chelsea play like how they played in that game, Arsenal should win
that game.
I think it's going to be a case of who takes their chances. Because it's not like, I know people keep saying Chelsea clinical. Chelsea aren't being clinical right now. Chelsea are scoring, but they ain't being clinical
No one's forcing them to be clinical.
This is what I'm saying. So if Arsenal actually take their chances, it will actually demand a response from Chelsea. Mm. And I feel like that's what we saw in the Emirates game. Arsenal were pushing. And Chelsea didn't have a response until that equaliser. But no, thanks for your predictions, guys.
Looking forward to it. It should be able to. I think they sold quite a few tickets at Selhurst Park.
So. I think it should be a really good game. So you both think Chelsea wins. We'll see how that one pans out. In the spirit of winning things, we have to talk about FIFA the best that just happened. Two sorts of lines of discussion that we're going to go into. So the first being, Mary Earps winning best goalie. What are your thoughts on that? Also, what would you say it signifies for her trajectory over the last year or so?
I think, considering where she's come from, to be at a point where you're wondering why you're even playing football, ultimately, that's where she's come from, to be one of one. You know, this is an award that's voted for. It's not by the fans. It's not how popular you are. It's voted for by your peers at the end of the day. And I think, you know, it just signifies where she is. And I think there aren't that many goalkeepers, I would say, across men and women's football, where you can actually be confident that your goalkeeper is pretty much going to save anything. As a defender, you're not worried about what's coming behind you. And I think she, her leadership, how she commands her box, her humbleness as well. I just think, you know, in the space of where she was and not even getting picked for the Olympics to where she's come from now, I think it's remarkable. And I think it's fully deserved. You know, without her at the back in the goal and offering what she did, and that calmness, I think sometimes, especially that first game in the Euros, you know,
Sweden. The highlights recently, and I was like, I forgot in the first 30 seconds.
It
was an incredible
and
day.
That changes the game.
That
changes the game.
So I think that's why she's won it, because there are countless moments that you can remember. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you had a different goalkeeper in that goal, you would have conceded. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the landscape of the game changes. So, like, you know, congratulations, she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of where her career and what that means, I think, you know, United put get a contract out.
Open the checkbook.
If you want to keep her, that's what you're going to have to do, because I think she's at a level now that she can go and play at any club in the world that she wants to. I think people will welcome her with open arms. So if you want to keep her, you need to pay her her worth.
Tell them, Lauren. Martha, thoughts?
Yeah, no, completely agree. I think so deserved. And also, given that before the Euros, and well, maybe sort of right up until the start of the Euros, but before then, in the lead up, we were still discussing who was going to play in goal, kind of thing. Yeah. We sort of predicted it'd be Earps, but it wasn't like a real set in stone decision. Whereas now she's so clear, of anyone else. So it just shows you, and she's been so consistent. And I think in the men's game, in the women's game, being a goalkeeper that's not only talented but consistent is a very rare find. Word. You know, to have that passion that she has, where sometimes she goes a bit mad, but she still keeps it collected when she needs to be. Mm-hmm. Distribution, obviously, some people say that others are a little bit better, but it's not like she's got poor distribution. So she's, I think she's, how old is she now as well?
29, I think.
She's still got, like, in terms of for a goalkeeper, you've still got some peak years.
Of
your career.
At this age, anyway.
So, it's very lucky for England and United if they can keep her.
It's 29.
It'll be exciting to see this World Cup. It's exciting for England, I think, just on a whole, to just have so many players that are going into this World Cup in such good form and sort of at the peak of their careers. So congrats to her. I think she's fully deserves it.
Obviously, I echo you guys' thoughts on Mary Earps. I think she's been fantastic. I think she's been fantastic for a little while now, like, to be honest. I think in the last year, in fact, in the last like a year to 18 months, I'd say, like, she's gone past what obviously she's saying that she even thought she could do. And I feel like her best traits are being highlighted in games. Like, she's focusing very much on her strengths. You know, she's a good leader. She knows she's very vocal. She knows she reads the game well. And she's commanding in her box, as you were saying, Lauren. And I feel like that's what makes her such a good goalie, especially at the back and at the top level, where you want your keeper to be involved and to be vocal with the defensive line.
Take the pressure off your defensive
line. Exactly. I think there's a lot of cohesion with where England are at right now. And a lot of that is to do with what Mary Earps is doing in that defensive line. So, yeah, I think we're all agreed that Mary Earps deserved that. It's a great win for her. And obviously, guys, we have to touch on, because obviously we have to touch on who won FIFA the best women's player of the year. That was Alexia Putellas. I won't lie, when someone asked me a couple weeks ago who I thought should win it, I said Alexia, but everyone's allowed their opinion on that, but I want to ask you what your opinions were on that, and then we'll go into what some other people's opinions were on that. Marva?
I think a lot of the controversy is coming from people not knowing the dates of the eligibility period.
Facts.
It goes until the end of July, is what I believe.
Yeah, the 2021-22 season.
Yeah. So it started from August 2021.
Yeah. So the only thing she missed was the Euros. I know that's big.
Yeah.
But still.
Out of her control.
From... Yeah. From June of the year before to June, if you were going then to before the Euros, no one would argue, right? Yeah. Like, some people would say Beth Mead, sure. Yeah. I understand Beth Mead, what she did at the Euros was incredible.
Yeah.
I understand that what she did in the league was very good.
Yeah.
I don't think what Mead did in the league
was superseded.
Matches what Putellas did in her league.
Agreed.
And I think there's a slight recency bias, because I think if people, and also obviously in the UK, we're hearing most opinions from the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you watched, I remember the hype about Alexia last year when she was at her peak. We're talking people comparing her to Messi. Like, she had a stadium full of, 90,000 people at the Nou Camp.
Singing her name.
Bowing down to her, because that is how good she was last season. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand that. If I was me, I'd feel a bit like, oh, come on, like, this is a few awards now that I haven't won. What more can I do? I get that. But I do think if you're taking into account that the dates, then I don't know how you can argue it that much, in all honesty.
Agreed.
Lauren,
I think I'm going to try and be factual, but for me, Alexia is one of one. But in terms of that period of time, if we're going to compare stats, because that's what a lot of people like to do, right? Put up numbers. When you look at what Alexia does, you know, people may call the Spanish league an easier league. Domestic
even
treble.
Cap as well. I hate it so much.
But then I think, okay, fine, I can listen to that argument. Okay, Alexia, maybe she plays in an easier league.
I could listen.
Come to the Champions League.
This
now.
Is what I'm saying.
She back-to-back finalists. She captains that team to win it the first year. Mm-hmm. And in the season, okay, in this season in particular, they lost to Lyon. She was top goal scorer.
She also had a good game that game.
Thank you.
She was trying to drag that team to something.
Yeah. And they obviously the synergy wasn't there that day. Yeah, but she did score in the final as well. And she was a top goal scorer. And she was the player of the tournament.
You have to be factual. Like, I think obviously we're coming from the UK and Beth has had a phenomenal season. Mm-hmm. But best phenomenal season is Alexia's normal standard. Like, at the end of the day, that's normal, her normal standard. That's what she does. I was there at the Emirates in the group stage.
Oh, God,
Arsenal, Barcelona. And when I tell you, they should have given me binoculars for my own player cam, because she dictated everything. Everything.
And
Beth Mead was on the pitch. So I just think, in terms of when Alexia is fit, there's not a player that can touch her. She plays in a team with, like, Graham Hansen, Fridolina Rolfo, Bon Mati. Names, I could list you names upon names of how good that Barcelona team is. Right. And she's clear. She is clear of her teammates. And I think people ask the question, what more does Beth need to do to win? I think we also need to ask the question of, what more could Alexia have done to win apart from not tear her ACL?
Yeah, and I also think, to be honest, like, a lot of people were mentioning, look, first of all, I want to make it clear that we all are agreed that Beth Mead had a
really good season. Life. Stood at Wembley watching history without Beth Mead.
I've got Mead on the back of my shirt for England. Exactly. Like, I've never had an Arsenal player at the back of my shirt for anything.
Mate, she had the season of her life. We're all agreed on that. A huge part as to why England won the Euros. Someone did make a good argument, and I'm not going to lie, I was slightly inclined to agree that, like, all this anger and energy towards me not winning, like, also, sorry, Millie Bright, let me just say,
she never make it in the 11.
Millie Bright did not make it into the World 11, despite the fact that she won the league, won the FA Cup, also won the Euros.
Two centre-backs did?
Leo Williamson
and Mappy Leon.
And Mappy Leon. Was it Mappy
Leon?
Gonna...
Yeah, it's Mappy Leon.
I thought Mappy Leon was put a fullback. Am I going crazy?
Oh, Wendy Renard.
Renard.
But fair. Mappy Leon's a centre half. But yeah.
The thing is
if I speak anyway, I'll be in big trouble.
I just think there's a massive.
I was gonna
profess my love for Leah Williamson. Yeah, Leah, I love you. I do.
And then,
but she
knew it.
She's in the team because she's the face of the team and she's the captain.
And there is
a part of that.
There is merit to that because it's not a coincidence that. Since Leah took over as captaincy, that England have won every trophy. I don't think that's a coincidence. I do think she's an incredible captain. I think in the Euros, I thought she played incredibly well. Mm-hmm. But in terms of if we're looking at the domestic season last season, did she have a better season than Millie Bright?
And in the Euros, I think Bright,
if we're then talking about people's contribution to their domestic season and we're talking about Puteas and Mead, why is Sam Kerr not in the chat? I actually think there's also an argument that if you're going to argue that Beth Mead should have won
everyone as well, we can start bringing up if we start saying now, why didn't Nina Oberdorf win it then? No, because you're going to
But it's true though. Oberdorf had
won the domestic league, won the cup in Germany,
got
to the final, and got young player of the tournament in the Euros.
I think with her, it's more a thing of they're like, she'll have her time in a few years.
This is what I'm saying. I feel like when certain awards are picked, there is an element of your thinking of other factors. And I feel like people are angry that other factors were thought about this year.
But I also think as well, though, like, I can get why people would have preferred Mead, but anyone saying things like, oh, popularity or like social, I'm like, nah, like, that's not the case when it comes to Mead and Alesia.
You have to go and watch her. Go and watch her. And then for me, she's one of the best, maybe even the best women's player I have seen with my own eyes. Yeah. She is incredible.
I feel like the popularity thing is also a cop out because we've seen in so many years, yes, there is an element of popularity, but you have to think of why she's popular.
Exactly.
She's actually someone, that's popular in the game purely because of her talent on the pitch.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I just remember I got a potato shirt as well, actually. I got both Mead and potatoes.
And that period, at the time, to kind of surpass Alex Morgan as the face of women's football, because one thing about Alex Morgan, she was popular, but she was also fantastic and scoring goals. I have an Alex Morgan special.
It's all coming out of the woodwork now.
But like to actually kind of take that pressure on your shoulders. Mm. 90,000 people are turning up to watch you. No. Yes, Beth Mead, she's a fantastic player, but I really don't personally believe that you can argue against Alexia winning that because she's one of one. Any player that has a fantastic season, for me, that's her normal standard.
And I think you're allowed to have wanted, I think you're allowed to have wanted someone else to win. By the way,
100%.
We're not saying you can't.
We have Messi Ronaldo debates all the time.
Everyone is allowed to have wanted someone else to win. I'm just saying purely, some people's reactions,
it's over the
you're
top.
Overdoing it, number one. You're proper overdoing it. And secondly,
do you know the dates?
You know the dates? Genuinely, Marva, do you know the dates? Before arguing, we'll leave it at that. Congratulations to everyone that won at FIFA the best. Going into part two of the episode now, as always, just a reminder, if you haven't followed, make sure to follow Gold Diggers UK on Twitter, Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. So going into part two, WSL this weekend, Battle of the Fifths, Everton versus Villa. Marva, our resident Everton fan, what are your thoughts?
It's a difficult one because Everton haven't played in like a month, so
true.
This
what happens when you get out of the cup.
All right.
Okay.
All right, cool. Never mind. Lauren's laughing over there as well.
Listen, we stayed in one round longer.
it's a tough one to call. I think the last few times we've played them, we've beaten them in the league, but it's been close games. They've strengthened since, but we're at home. We are at home, and I think we're on a roll. I think our team has found a way to really click, and I think it'll be a tough game. I think it'll be one of the toughest games we faced out of the top four.
Yeah,
for sure.
Agreed.
But we got a point against United, however lucky it may be, we got it. So could have got three, but anyway. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I think just for a neutral, it'll be a really good game. Yeah. And yeah, we'll see. Obviously, Kenza Dalu coming back as well. And
coming back
improved player.
I was watching the highlights of the Villa FA Cup game and I was miserable.
She's
peak. Like,
she's so good.
Sometimes I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow. Because she, obviously, I know she has done a level up. Like, I feel that it's often forgotten that she's done the level up before coming to the league. Yeah. But like, I feel like since she's been in the league, people have been thinking, oh, what is her level? But now I'm looking at her again at Villa, I'm thinking,
well, she's starting to get in the French team as well.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. She's showing everybody.
I feel like, I actually do think, you know, sometimes some people haven't been getting into their national team, but not because they haven't been. But in this case, I actually think that she has improved. I feel like she's improved and that has warranted her coming back into the...
I think she's been Villa's best player. Same. I'm gonna be honest.
She links
obviously,
everything.
Yeah. Obviously, Rachel Daly's been incredible, but
a lot of Rachel Daly receiving the ball is down to
Kenza Dalu, and I think it's helped the likes of Jordan Nobbs slot into that team because Kenza's there dictating everything that they need to do. I think everything good, even if you're just watching highlights of Villa, everything good that they do, the 90% of it goes through Kenza Dalu, and I think it's going to be an interesting game. It is the Battle of the Fifths because I think Everton have massively improved, well up on where they were last season. But I thought Villa had improved. And then it feels like the additions that they've made in January, they've gone up again. So I actually think it'll be very, very interesting. But then
they've had a few games where they've, like, because Everton, every time we've played, we've cut aside. In the league, the only teams we've lost to other than that first game has been to top four opposition, whereas Villa have slipped up a few times, but have gotten
and
a few points
from
the top,
teams.
Which is why we're equal. But I think we're level on points.
I think you are as well.
Or maybe, I can't remember. I think we might have a game in hand, so there are a few points above us or something like that. But anyway, we're close. So I think they do have a few mistakes in them. I think they do have some weaknesses in them. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Villa are on 20 points. Everton are on that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
19, but Everton have a game in hand.
Yeah, because I think Everton have been consistently good with an identity, and you can understand, I think, Everton's system. Mm-hmm. But I also think some of the maybe the inconsistencies in Villa is because their squad has changed a lot this season, and then it's kind of changed again in January. But no, I think it'll be a good game. I think this it's nice to have a game that doesn't involve the big four, where it feels as if, you know, you're going to see really high quality football, mm-hmm. And you don't really kind of know who's going to win it. It's a big game, and it's nice to kind of have hype around it. Mm-hmm. You know, a game that's just not, you know, one of the big four. So
also, I feel like as well, because there's been a few games now where we've had this with Villa, mm-hmm. And I feel like even just creating, I don't want to say rivalries, but at least those kind of slight grudge matches, at the table that you feel like. Even if you're not compete, like, because in men's football, I've got so many teams I hate just because at some point we were competing with them for something. Agreed. I've got no idea why I hate them still, but just over time you start to build that up, and I feel like those kind of clashes are helping to lead that. Speaking of as well, having a look at that table, do you know what kills me? I've just realised that Everton women have only like a few points less than Everton men playing half the amount of games.
Oh,
okay.
Well.
As I have once tweeted, I'm solely an Everton woman fan.
No, love that. And I completely agree with what you both were saying. I think that the games where there's not much of a difference in terms of like ability, starting lineup, are the best games. Just because both teams go for it. There's not really, because both teams are going into it thinking they can win, there's not going to be like a sitting back element. I feel like sometimes when there's a golfing class or talent or whatever,
you get one team keep sits it tight. Back. Yeah,
but this one I feel like it's going to be an end to end, because you both pretty much could win.
Yeah,
and it's just going to be about who's going to create more and take more of their chances. Good luck, Everton. I quite like you lot as a team, and I quite like Villa as a team. To be honest, you know, Villa's got a lot of United players, so I feel like I've got some stocks in there. And I like Carlo Wood as a manager.
I think they're building. I think they're both blueprints to other sides in the league. Not mentioning anyone.
Yeah,
but of what the kind of the structure and the building and the development of a squad is supposed to look like. So must be nice.
I mean, look at what Everton were 2 seasons ago and last season. So
I think we had about 26 managers.
People have short memories, and you're only as good as your last game.
It's true. I mean, we might as well talk about a team that should be following that blueprint. In Lauren's team, Tottenham. Lauren, who have you got this weekend, and what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are we're going to lose because we have Manchester City. And
you're nodding straight
away. I mean, I
probably
we have to be honest. You know, the form that Bunny Shaw is in alone, ridiculous, let alone the rest of the team.
Chloe Kelly's finding form now.
Yeah, and you look and think City can sniff that they can also close that gap on third. Mm. So I think
it's even a bigger problem.
Oh, yeah, I think they know they're in the mix, they know that. This is a game which they should win comfortably, and it's about approaching with the right mentality. But I think, as we saw last season with the second half of City season, they kind of clicked, and then they realised they need to push. Yeah. And I think, especially if Beth England is still injured. I don't even know what to say. Like, it's going to be painful. The way we're playing.
I want you lot to get a win from something. I want Beth England's goals to mean something.
So do I. But at the moment, I just want her back on the pitch. I think the FA Cup game, we had, you know, we have been playing better. Our performance against United was really good. Okay, we didn't get anything out of the game.
It was good.
But I earmarked this, our FA Cup game against Reading, to say, okay, this is our level now. Mm. This is now about, you know, showing that these improved performances can lead to results. And I remember I parked my car and I checked the team and I saw that Beth England wasn't there and I just wanted to start the car again and drive back home, but I didn't. And, you know, we created so many chances and we didn't score, and it was back to watching us going forwards before Christmas. And yeah, it feels as if we're in a situation now where all of our hopes are pinned on one player, and there's a lot of pressure. And I know Beth can take it, but yeah, it's kind of, and again, we're not going to have Evelina because the FA are a sick joke. I don't care. I will say it.
We'll get onto that as well.
But yeah, so it's kind of that Evelina and what she does in our midfield to kind of shore up shop, take the ball, comfortable under pressure, you know, kind of does that sixth role. Nobody else is kind of doing that role. So I'm also concerned about how many goals City will score against us.
On stat pad, like, you know, some teams, they take mercy, like after 2-3, they just start
switching on the next game.
That's when they'll start bringing on like some other people. City will run it up to six before they start bringing on.
Exactly. Like, even it's at the weekend when you like following the notifications of their game, because it's at Brisbane Road, and then you're like, it's 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. They're the only team, I think, at the moment who are seriously stat padding, because usually you do see it from Chelsea consistently. You see it with the big cricket scorelines with Arsenal as well. But yeah,
it's funny because their goal difference is actually out of the top four is the lowest. So I think they're due a serious stat pad. They've been stat padding in the cup, and they've not been stat padding in the league. They've
been sort of getting a few sort of 1-0, 2-1, 2-0.
Yeah. But they're going to... I don't see... With the team that we have available, you know, maybe Beth England will obviously make a difference if she plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how we keep out the that many goals. I'm just gonna
pray for Lauren.
I don't know what I'm gonna be watching.
I mean, it would be wrong of us, I think, not to. How do I want to play this actually? No, okay, cool. It would be wrong of us not to bring up the Evelina Suminen incident.
Ella Toon incident.
We'll put a times in the middle, so one name times this incident. Marva, if you want to take us through what happened in said incident.
So to recap for people who don't know, essentially Spurs were playing Man United.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
There was a little foul, little tackle, little coming together.
Like
Ella Toon, you know, she's got that passion. She's got that anger. Yeah,
she didn't like being brought down.
She didn't like being brought down. So she goes over to Suminen, who's on the floor, and gives her a big push into the floor.
But via the shoulder. Her face, she meant it.
She pushed her into the ground.
It was aggressive.
Suminen covered her face, as we see many players do when there's any contact around that area, and rolled around with her face covered. She bought it. Fair enough.
Yep.
It ended up being a red card. Ella Toon gets sent off. The FA then look at the incident post game, and they
Manchester United appealed.
They rescinded the red card, which I was quite surprised about. But same. I mean, kind of fair enough. She didn't actually hit the face, but even so, it was aggressive behaviour. So yeah. I was a little bit surprised that they...
And an act of retaliation, which the FA said, if it is an act of retaliation, that it would still be upheld.
It falls in the violent conduct
category, which you could argue it probably did.
Yeah, because it wasn't like they were shoving each other.
Yeah, yeah.
She went over and shoved her on the ground.
Yeah.
Where it goes even crazier is that the FA doing something I've never seen before, which is they have banned, they've given a 2-game suspension to Suminen for covering her face rather than her chest.
In an act of deception.
Of a match official is the clause that they reference.
Now, for me, people might come for me for this one, but I feel like it's a little bit sexist. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it falls into that whole thing of in women's football, we don't dive and there's no foul play and we all get along and we're all lovey-dovey and blah. It's like, nah, there's diving, there's simulation. And if you're going to be, as an FA, because it's not just the women's FA, you're the FA.
Yeah.
If you're going to, if you your standpoint really is to stamp out all simulation, then we just saw it in the Chelsea Spurs men's game.
It's true.
We saw incidents like that. We see incidents all the time. For as long as I have been watching football in my many years of life, I see incidents like that all the time. And no one that I've seen has ever been banned retroactively based on deceit. I've seen it in terms of like a dive, but in terms of another player has been sent off and possibly rightfully sent off, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I get it. If you're really laying down the line, you're saying, look, from here on out or this whole season, we're clamping down on any simulation. We don't care. If you said that from the beginning, fine. I don't mind, but you've got to keep that consistent now. And if you're going to keep it consistent, I want to see it in the men's game and the women's game.
Agreed. Lauren, thoughts? It's obviously I'm still very angry because I'm a Spurs fan and it directly affects my team. I think it's a joke. I think if we also the context of the incident, it's literally 5 yards from the touchline. That means not only is the referee there, that means the fourth official is there, that means the lines person on the opposite side is also there because the incident's just halfway, like literally just over the halfway line. So you're telling me three match officials couldn't see between them what had happened. And to say that you have been deceived, deceived means that you've looked at Evelina and said, oh, she's holding her face, therefore she must have got punched in the face or something. So three of you didn't actually see what happened. You've made a judgment based off of a player's reaction. Yeah. Do you know how many times I've seen players who they hurt their ankle but they're holding their face because they want to get the game stopped
or rolling around multiple times,
and like you said, we literally just saw it with Emerson Royale. Ziyech barely caught him and the guy walked backwards, fell on the floor, was rolling around on the floor. Is he going to get a ban for deception of a match official? I just think it's a joke of a decision. Even for me, like, okay, they wanted to overturn the red card. I could have accepted it. I saw that announcement and I just went about my day. I went about my day because I thought it doesn't affect me. I don't have to play Man United again. Good for Elatoon. Good for you. You've got a big match against Chelsea coming out.
Do we not have to play you again? We do.
Yep.
But not, it won't affect the ban.
It won't affect us in the next couple of games. Elatoon gets to play against Chelsea.
Yeah, season long ban.
And I thought, okay, fine. To charge Evelina for being a victim of an act of retaliation, I just think it's a joke. Where have we seen this before? What is the barrier? And I think if you're telling me that three match officials were not competent enough to actually understand what happened at that incident, three of them.
It's one of those where it's like, it sounds like a you problem. Right? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's a you problem. What, you got deceived. That's a you problem.
Why has the victim of the incident been punished for something that the officials couldn't see?
Yeah.
I just think it's a joke. And I think you're directly impacting my team we're in a relegation fight now. She's one of our most important players. Mm-hmm. And I don't see what example it sets. The only thing this is highlighted is the FA's incompetence, that disciplinary board. I haven't really seen anybody apart from the passionate, you know, United fans who will back their players regardless. Anybody that's neutral in the situation, I haven't seen any of them deserved.
No, do you know what? I have seen a few people in the sense of like, oh good, let's stamp simulation out of our game.
It's not worthy of her getting banned.
It's not worthy of her getting banned. And also, I just think if you're going to do it now, you've set such a precedent that you're going to have to do this anytime anyone does any simulation. It's like I said, in men's and women's.
Because if it happens in a game, it's like, let's say, for example, I did something to someone and I can see that they're using simulation now to convince you. I'm going straight to the ref and say, sorry, did you see?
Red card, two games. But this is what I don't get as well, because it's a suspension. So if it was to happen on the field, like if the ref had clocked would they have given her a red card?
They wouldn't have. It's a yellow.
Yeah,
because when you dive, it's yellow for diving. That's what I'm saying. Let's be honest here. Even me as a United fan, I can say FA cop out, refs cop out. Like the refs shouldn't be refereeing based on someone's reaction to something, and for you to say you only gave the red because of that act of deception means you ain't doing your job. Do you get what I mean? Like, yeah, you're not. That's not how your job is supposed to be performed. Do you get what I mean? That was my first thought as a United fan, and my second thought as a United fan, I'll be honest, was, wow, we really do have Lioness Riz, and that we're really stepping up our thing.
If it was the other way around, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, would it? Because you lot don't have Lioness Riz, and that's what I'm saying. Also, we have basically now come back.
If that happened in men's football, and it was a top six team or top four team that got the benefit of that decision, there's riots on the streets about that decision.
Agreed. No, agreed. It's one of the worst retrospective. Actually, one of the worst decisions I have seen in years.
Yeah.
In years. And honestly, the FA and how our games are being officiated, mm-hmm, they're not getting positive feedback, mm-hmm, at the moment. And I just think I cannot understand, because because I have been personally impacted by this. Anytime I see that simulation, I'm because they should be banned. Because
my eyes are going to be on every detail now.
Keep the same energy, because
I do need to look into that rule about the suspension, because I remember it happened with an Everton men's player, and the Everton fans still go on about it to this day to be like, because Umar Nias got a retrospective ban for diving. But he's like the only person it's ever happened to since.
Yeah, this is the problem.
So I'm like, it's just wild.
I don't know what side of the bed that the disciplinary board must have woke up, that they decided, you know what, we're going to penalise that. But yeah, we are where we are now. But it's just not fair. Sorry at the end that, of the Lauren. Day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that, Lauren. One sorry game about to go. That, Suminen and sorry.
But Toon, well done.
I didn't say that, Mark said it. Guys, all we have left now is some listeners' questions. If I can find them. First question. It's an open question. Whoever wants to answer can answer. Serena said recently that she's not just going to put people into the England squad just because they're now playing. So I want to ask you what some people that aren't in the England squad right now would have to do, in your opinion, to get in. You can choose with that, whichever players you want. But yeah, just answer that.
Start with Beth.
we can start with Beth. Obviously, the reason why Beth England came to Spurs is because she needs to be playing football, mm-hmm, apparently, to get into the Lionesses squad. I think her actual performance from when she moved, she's pretty much scored in every single game. She's been our best player by a country mile and didn't make the squad. So that one was a surprise. I really thought that, you know, she's actually hit the ground running. And I think if she is playing every possible game that she possibly can, and she's scoring in pretty much every game that she's playing in, I then don't know what more you would have to do to actually get into the squad. It's then just a case of, I don't know, personal preference. But I just think, you know, somebody's upped and changed. You know, I think we have to think about the impact. Someone has upped and changed their routine, their life, chasing to try and get in a squad. They're doing everything they possibly can. They were good enough to get into your squad when they weren't playing that much. And now it's not good enough. And
maybe it's just time, though. Like, maybe it was just quick. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe she knows what Beth's going to bring to a squad.
Yeah.
So maybe she doesn't need to assess her, because I think Gareth Southgate does that as well. Yeah. He uses that excuse.
Then I guess you've got like Ebony Salmon now.
Yeah, but I feel like she doesn't like her. She doesn't really. Yeah.
I didn't want to say it in it, but Lauren said
she doesn't really.
And I actually think Ebony Salmon
is a really good player. Yeah, she's a really good player. Yeah. I can tell.
It's just funny though. She's been in like every squad, but
it's not a good omen.
All the way back.
It's not a good omen that she comes often and doesn't play. And it's also not a good omen that when England played USA in that Wembley game, that Lauren Hempstead as a number 9.
Yeah.
Make of that what you will. Marva, thoughts?
I'll bring up two. I think I'll go from an Everton perspective and Gabby George.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about playing time, it's an interesting one because, dare I say, Jess Carter.
Yeah, there are players in the squad who don't play.
Carter does not play regularly.
And some people
she's
are playing and aren't playing well.
She's Serena's tested her out a few times now. Seems to value her. Don't get me wrong, I think she's a great player, but I think Carter and Gabby George are two very similar players.
They can cover both. The back line.
They can play in a back five. They can play as the left sided centre back. They can play, or in fact, just Carter play left sided. They can play as a fullback, and given the kind of lack of fullbacks that we have in the squad, I think. And Gabby George has been very consistent this season. And also very good attacking as well, which she hasn't shown before. But also we know she can play at centre back. We know she can play at full back. So I just think with that, it's going to be a case of who Serena kind of favours more. But it's interesting that some examples are going that way, especially if we're talking about, you know, Beffing and kind of, well, maybe was it better for her to just stay on the bench at Chelsea in that sense. And then the other one I'll bring up is Jordan Nobbs, who's in a kind of similar scenario in that she's gone away to a different club to get more minutes. Initially wasn't in this England squad for the Arnold Clark Cup. I thought actually did very well against Italy. So maybe she's done enough just in, if you get that chance when you are in the England camp, and we kind of don't know what Frank Kirby is going to be like going into the World Cup. So I think she'll have a chance, but at the end of the day, it's like there's a lot of competition. And I do think while it might seem like favouritism and you know, England men's, like Southgate gets us a lot as well. And I get the thing of like, why are you not picking players in form or players who are regularly playing? But you do... tournament,
continuity.
When it comes to international football, you have to, you can't just pick your best 11 in the whole world. You have to go with players who are used to your system because you don't have that long with them
but
to train them.
The Beth England one surprises me because she was part of that squad.
And that's
she,
where I think she'll get back in.
I hope she does, because it's not like a Gabby George who hasn't really played with the team, so you've got to try and slot her in. I would even say Jordan Nobbs is in the Beth England bracket. Yes, she didn't go to the Euros, but she's been in and around the England setup.
Not really with
time.
Serena, though.
But yeah, I don't know. It feels. I say this about Gareth Southgate. I like my managers to maintain the same energy. So if you come out and say that this player hasn't been picked in a squad because they're not getting enough minutes, and then I was going to name a name, but I'm not going to. I don't want to be rude. But we do have some players in the squad that do not play much, or bench players for their big team,
or they're playing and they ain't good.
Or
not good, or they're playing and they're not better than some of the people at home.
I think it just makes it difficult to understand the reasoning, and I think this is just a problem with English football and the culture, because you don't in other countries there are far more press conferences, there are far more explanations that that actually come out because of, and people have to explain decision making, but I think it's quite closed door within English football, so we don't really understand the thinking. And I'm not asking Serena to come out and draw her tactics board and show everybody, but it just would help a bit more if there was a bit more transparency in the decision making.
Sweet. The person I was going to say is actually going to lead us into our next question as well. The person I was going to say is not someone that has been in the setup for years, to be honest, but I think that her form right now warrants a potential call up. And I was going to say Hannah Blundell.
She's been wicked.
I think she didn't start the season that great. I just thought she was all right. I think in the back line, out of the four, she was probably the most the easiest to not remember to shout about. But I think since we've come back from Christmas break, I actually think she's been probably one of our better performers in the team, not even just in the defence, in the team. So yeah, I would say her. I think that she's been playing now at a consistent level and at a team that keeps a lot of clean sheets, and she plays in a team that has a lot of Lioness players as well. So I feel like that will also help. I feel like she has a really good connection with Ella Toon.
My Letizia looks like, obviously, she's making the England squad.
Exactly. So I will say her, and that was going to lead me on to my next question, which we'll just answer briefly. Obviously, Rachel Daly right now looks like she is going to go as a nine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, honestly. So I was going to ask, who would be your left back, essentially? Who would be the left back that you choose? But yeah, now that it's not going to be Rachel Daly, essentially.
Gabby George.
Oh, it's a tough one, because would say my first choice probably would be Alex Greenwood, yeah, but depending on the opposition, if I know I'm coming up against pacey wingers, then I'm maybe gonna have to either change my system or go, in terms of who actually is getting picked, like a Jess Carter, maybe, or go to a back three. But I think.
I think Greenwood gets it. I think she Greenwood. Is actually going to start as well. Yeah,
so, yeah. I think she's very unlucky because the last season at the Euros, so I felt like she got injured just at the point that the kind of the starting 11 was starting.
But also, people were thinking that Leah was going to play as a six, and that.
It was looking like it
was going to be Greenwood and Bryce.
Yeah. She literally lost her starting spot.
Like the first game of the year.
She lost her starting spot
at centre back because, number one, because she had COVID, and number two, because Serena realised that Leah can't play six. She can't play six at the top level. She can't play at six.
Leah, we love you.
No, obviously. No,
listen, some games is a six, Leah. Cash money.
Leah is a top centre back, yeah, but no one's trying to see her, yeah, versus Germany's midfield. Let's just use our brains here. No one's trying to see Leah at six.
To be honest, I want to see Oberdorf versus Leah head to head, so I'm not about it.
Listen, there was one warm up game just before the Euros. And Leah played in the six, and she was not good. Mm-hmm. And that was the game that Serena decided not to
Yeah.
So it was a mixture of that. But yeah, so I think we're all agreed. Yeah, Alex Greenwood. Yeah,
100%.
I think we'll just draw it to a close there, guys. Thanks for this conversation, sharing ideas, all that. As always, make sure to follow the Gold Diggers podcast at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and golddiggers_UK on Instagram. To my left, you can follow Marva at
Marva MSK,
and you can follow Lauren at
Lauren Coys.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.